The title of this sermon is What is Our Vision? If you want to take out your worship guide and follow along, I encourage you to do that. What is our vision? Now, every once in a while, it's good, very, very important, matter of fact, for me to give a state of the church address, if you will, to talk about, for any organization, you need to regularly talk about what is our business and how's business. What is our mission? How are we doing at accomplishing our mission? Where are we trying to go? And how do we get there? And how are we doing so far? And so that was what last week was about, and that's what this week is about. Last week, we answered the question, what is our mission? What is our mission? And just to bring you up to speed, I don't want to spend much time at all on last week, but just to bring you up to speed, the mission up on the screen, we exist to help people far from God become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. If you remember, that's our mission. Help people far from God become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Every church should have the same biblical mission. It comes from the Great Commission. And Matthew 28, 18 through 20 comes directly from Jesus Christ himself. So every church should have the same mission. But that brings up two questions. Number one, what is full devotion? If we're trying to make fully devoted followers of Jesus, what is full devotion? Or what does a fully devoted follower of Jesus look like? And number two, how do we do it? How do we help people far from God get there to full devotion? The answer to the first question, we said last week, full devotion means becoming like Christ, loving God and others more and more. Becoming like Christ, loving God and others more and more. This is what I'm trying to do in my life. I'm trying to become more and more like Jesus, loving God and others more and more. And this is what we're trying to do as a church. This is what, as a parent, you're supposed to be trying to do for your kids, is helping them grow to full devotion, becoming like Christ, loving God and others more and more. Now, how do we do it? As a church, what is our strategy for making fully devoted followers of Jesus? Well, we help people become fully devoted by leading them through a discipleship process. If you look on the very back of your worship guide, you'll see those 9 steps to full devotion that we talked about last week. That's what we're trying to do, is get people to take those steps. That's a process. Take your very first step, which is what? Attend church on Sundays, and then trust in Christ, and then get baptized, and then on and on. We're trying to lead people to take those steps. And if you remember, some of those steps are one-time steps, like baptism. You only need to do it once. Trusting in Christ, getting saved, only once. Joining the church, only once, unless you move and you need to join a new church. But many of those steps are ongoing habits that we're leading you to put into place in your life, like home group, like having a quiet time, like tithing, like Sunday worship coming every week. Those are ongoing habits that we want you to put in place, keep in place. And what those will do will get you moving in the direction of full devotion. You keep those in place, and if you're consistent with those over a long period of time, you will be healthy and fully devoted to Christ. That's our mission. Now, this morning, we want to switch gears and talk about our vision. It rhymes, but it's different. Vision is different than mission. How is vision different from mission? Well, as I said, a mission should be the same for every biblical Christian church, which is simply to make disciples, help people far from God become fully devoted followers of Jesus. That was given to us by Jesus. Every church, biblical Christian church, should have the same mission. But not every church is going to have the same vision. A vision is different in that a vision is the unique contribution that God is calling our church to make to the kingdom of God. It's the unique problem that God wants us to solve, the unique need in our world that God wants us to meet. Now, there may be other churches that are working together on that same need, but not every church is going to have the same vision. The vision is, if our church suddenly disappeared and left town, the vision is what would cause some people in our community, not all people, but some people in our community to miss us. Acadiana has lots of churches. The vision is the reason why Church Acadiana needed, or Acadiana needed a new church, Church Acadiana. It's because it's what sets us apart. It's the unique contribution, the unique need that we're called to meet. Now, to explain the vision to you, I need to explain to you the symptom of a problem, and then I need to explain to you the problem and then the solution. Our vision is the solution to that problem. I want to start with the symptom this morning. I'm very passionate about this. This is what I'm on fire about. And so if it feels like I'm fussing at you or yelling at you, I don't mean to. I'm just really passionate about this. Here's the symptom. The symptom is that the church in America is losing the next generation. the church in America is losing the next generation. The church in America, for the past few generations, has been losing, not reaching its next generations. There was a 2013 study by Barna Research and the National Center for Family Integrated Churches that found that 61% of 20-somethings who had been churched at one point during their teen years are now spiritually disengaged, which means they no longer attend church, pray, or read the Bible. What that means, let me explain that to you. More than 6 out of 10 kids in America who have grew up in church, by the time they're in their 20s, they've left church. They're no longer, not just left church, they're no longer spiritually engaged at all. They don't pray, read their Bible, or go to church. 6 out of 10. Now, do you think that's a fluke? Well, here's another study. Another study by the Southern Baptist Convention Executive Committee reported that 70% of teenagers involved in church youth groups stop attending church within 2 years of their high school graduation. So the first study found it was 60%. 60% of kids who grew up in church, by the time they're in their 20s, they leave church. This study found that 70%, by the time they graduate from high school, are leaving church. Still another study by the Southern Baptist Council on Family Life reported that 88% of children in evangelical homes, homes like the ones in our church, they leave church at the age of 18. One study, 60%, another study, over 70%, another study, almost 90%, it's finding, of kids who are growing up in a Christian home like the ones in our church, after they graduate from high school, they're leaving the church. They're not coming back. We're losing the next generation in America. What the church has been doing for the past few generations to reach kids, to reach the young people, what normal Christian families have been doing for the past few generations to reach the next generation is simply not working. It's an utter and total failure in America. We've absolutely lost the battle. Let me make this a little bit more personal. I grew up in a wonderful Christian home. You guys know my parents, and my parents are today the people they were when I was growing up. Just church going every Sunday, love Jesus, serve the Lord, people of integrity, love their family. My dad was present, was always there. My mom was devoted to her family. They had a wonderful marriage. And I was the youngest of 5 boys. We were at church every Sunday, a church like this one, not like this one, but same doctrine, First Baptist Lafayette, First Baptist Youngsville, great churches. We were involved in Sunday school and youth group and Bible drill. And today, I'm the youngest of 5 boys. I'm the only one serving the Lord. That means that the churches that I grew up in reached 20% of the kids in my family. They lost 80%. Now, from what we just saw in the studies, the research, the reports that I just read to you, that's not an anomaly. That's the norm. That's what's happening all over our country. The church is losing the next generation. Not only that, but now as a father, I have 6 kids of my own that I'm trying to lead to Christ. Now, I don't want one out of those 6 to follow Jesus when they become an adult. I don't want 2 out of 6, or even 3 or 4 or 5 out of 6. I want the same thing you want. I want all of my kids serving the Lord and in church when they grow up. Amen? That's what you want, right? That's what we want. But what's terrifying is that church as usual in America is doing a terrible job at reaching the next generation. It's just failing. Think about it like this. The mission of the church is to make disciples, is to reach the lost and help them become fully devoted to Jesus Christ. But the church in America is not even reaching its own kids. The world is much better at reaching our kids than the church is at reaching the world. How can we reach the world in America if we're not even reaching our own kids, the kids in our church? Here's another way to think about it. As a church, our mission is to reach the world for Christ. And we want to be a part, and we are a part, because of the missions giving that we do. We're a part of reaching the world for Christ and supporting missionaries all over the world. But what's our primary mission field? Is it China or Russia, or is it America? It's America. That's our primary mission field. And And what's our primary mission field? Is it Shreveport, Monroe, you know, Baton Rouge, or is it Acadiana? It's Acadiana, but what's our primary mission field? Is it the north side of town up there by Karen Crow, north side of Lafayette, Opelousas maybe, or is it down here in South Lafayette Parish area? You see where I'm going, don't you? Our primary mission is this south part of Lafayette Parish, where our church is located, where we're planted. Now, what's your primary mission field? Your neighbors or the kids in your home? Your primary mission field, our primary mission field as a church, are the kids in our home. The primary mission field for each of us in terms of reaching people for Christ are the people closest to you. And if you're a parent, that's the kids living under your roof, the kids under your authority, under your influence. And as a church, we have no business sitting around and strategizing and thinking about how we're going to reach our community for Christ until we know for sure we're doing what's necessary to reach the kids in our homes. So that's the symptom. The church is losing the next generation. The symptom is not the problem. The symptom is the result of the problem. Now let's look at the problem. What is causing the church to lose the next generation? The problem is this: disobedience to Scripture. Disobedience to Scripture. You know, the Bible says that you reap what you sow. Surprise, surprise, when you disobey God, when you disobey God's word, there are some negative consequences. Surprise, surprise. The Bible calls parents to disciple their kids. But for the past few generations, parents have not been doing that in America. Christian parents, well-meaning, loving parents, parents who love Jesus, have not been discipling their kids. Instead, they've been bringing their kids to church and dropping them off and hoping that the job gets done. Let's look at some scripture together. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7. This is one of the most famous passages of scripture, one of the most important passages of scripture to Jews and to Christians. It says, "Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, when you're getting up." New Testament, Ephesians 6, 4, it says, "Fathers," that's key, "fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord." Discipline means teaching them to obey Christ, to behave like Christ. Instruction means teaching them to believe the right things about Christ. Now, both of these verses, both the Old and New Testament, what they're doing is they're commanding parents to disciple their kids. The Bible doesn't say, parents, make sure your kids get discipled. It doesn't matter who does it. The Bible says, parents, you need to disciple your kids. You need to be leading your kids to Christ and teaching them to follow Jesus. Parents, the Bible says, are to sit in the driver's seat of discipleship. Parents are to sit in the driver's seat of discipleship. Now that brings us to a small discussion about parenting. What is parenting? What is a parent to do, a Christian parent? The Bible says that a central role of a parent is discipleship, discipling your kids, specifically the father, if that's possible, discipling the kids, sitting the kids down and discipling the kids. The father is supposed to be like a pastor of his home. The home is a small microcosm of the church, and the father is like the pastor, and he's discipling his kids. And this is how the church in America has been disobedient. Instead of discipling their kids, for the past few generations, parents, simply because they haven't been taught, parents, instead of discipling their kids, they've been delegating that task to Sunday school teachers, to youth directors, and to pastors, and just hoping for the best. I've told you this before. I love delegation. Delegation is a really good thing. I would love to hire somebody to mow my grass. I would love to delegate that. Maybe when I can afford it one day. I would love to delegate that task. I would love for somebody to wash my car. And sometimes I do delegate that to my kids. Thanks, kids. I love to delegate. But there are some things in life you cannot delegate. I cannot ask another man to date and romance my wife for me. That's something only I can do. I cannot ask another man to have family dinner in my place every evening. I cannot ask another man to provide for my family's needs in my place. That's my job. And I cannot ask another man to disciple my kids in my place. That's my job. I'm the father. Parents are to be the primary disciplers. Discipleship is central to parenthood. Why would that be? Why is it so important? You know, as a parent, you can cart your kids off to be taught math. You can delegate that. You can let somebody else teach your kids the violin or the piano. You can let somebody else teach your kids how to kick a soccer ball. What is so special about discipleship but that the parent is the one who needs to be doing it? Let me give you two reasons. Both of these are just intuitive. They're self-evident. The first is that parents have more influence on their children than anyone else. Would anybody dispute that in a normal family? Parents have more influence on their children than anyone else. In other words, your kids, parents, love you more than anybody else, any other adult. They respect you more. They trust you more. And so you, as a parent, will be the most effective person on this earth at teaching your kids and getting them to buy in the faith, getting them to adopt the faith. Your kids are most likely to adopt the faith for themselves if it's coming from the person that they love and trust and respect the most. Second reason that God wants parents to be doing the ones doing the discipleship is because it grows the parents. It grows the parents. When parents have to teach their kids the Bible, it grows the parents. When you have to, you know, your understanding of something really deepens when you have to break it down and explain it to someone else. Imagine if you have to break down and explain the doctrine of the Trinity to a four-year-old. If you can do that, then your understanding of the Trinity is pretty developed. You don't know how little you know until you actually are responsible to teach someone something. There's a lot of times, a lot of concepts I feel pretty good about until it's like, well, it's time to do a sermon on that topic, and suddenly I realize, ooh, I guess I really didn't need to do my research here. When you have to teach your kids, it really grows you. Not only that, but when you're teaching your kids to follow Christ, it grows you because it challenges you to practice what you preach. As a parent, you know intuitively that your kids are not likely to listen to a hypocrite. And so when you're teaching your kids, hey, you need to love your neighbor as yourself. You need to treat others the way you want to be treated. You need to be kind and gentle. Don't lose your temper. Suddenly now your kids are going to be watching you to see if you're living what you're teaching. And that's going to push you and drive you to apply the word to your life. So it makes perfect sense why God would command parents to disciple their kids. Let me put it this way. Something special happens when kids receive their spiritual instruction from their parents, especially their father. Something special, something irreplaceable happens whenever kids receive their spiritual instruction from dad. That brings us to our vision. Here's our vision at Church Acadiana. We want to be a church where parents are passionate about discipling their kids at home. We want to be a church where parents are passionate about discipling their kids at home. At Church Acadiana, we're all about the next generation. Our mission as a church is to help people far from God become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. But our mission starts with the kids in our church, with the kids in our homes, the people closest to us. And so at Church Acadiana, what makes us unique and different is that we want to put discipleship back into the hands of parents. We want to put parents back into the seat of discipleship. We believe that parents are the key to reaching the next generation. Listen, I'm a pastor, seminary trained. I know a lot about the Bible. But you, mom and dad, are much more effective, can be much more effective at reaching and discipling your kids than me. We believe in the power of parents at Church Acadiana, and so we want parents to be passionate about discipling their kids in the home. So let's look at our strategy. Here's our strategy. How do we do that at Church Acadiana? We exhort and equip parents for home discipleship and enable them to do church with their kids as a shared experience. We exhort and equip parents for home discipleship and enable them to do church with their kids as a shared experience. Let's break that down. What does it mean to exhort parents? We exhort parents to disciple their kids at home. To exhort means to urge, to advise earnestly or strongly. In other words, we want to tell parents, disciple your kids at home. It's your job. It's your responsibility. You need to be doing it. If you're not, you're living in sin. Disciple your kids at home. You know, parents, many parents haven't heard that until they came to Church Acadiana. I know some people who were staff members at churches. And until they went to a church like ours, a family integrated church, even as staff members at a church, they were never taught you should be discipling your kids at home. Most parents are just bringing their kids to church and dropping them off. And many parents, Christian parents, think being a good parent means putting food on the table, clothes on their back, bringing them to recitals and games, and dropping them off at school, bringing them to church. Many parents have never been taught you need to be discipling your kids. So that's what we want to do. We need to exhort parents to disciple their kids at home. Second, we equip parents. We teach them how. We teach them how do you do it. Many parents, if they've never been taught to do it, of course they don't know how, so we're teaching you how. And it's very, very simple, by the way. And that's what Home Discipleship Forum this afternoon is all about. That we have an entire part of our website called Equipping Parents. It's filled with tools and ideas and resources for you. We want to teach you how to do it. And third part of our strategy, we want to enable parents to do church with their kids as a shared experience. You just look around. Look at all the kids in this room. A lot of kids in this room. That's because of our vision. At Church Acadiana, we intentionally are enabling parents to do church with their kids as a shared experience. We don't want you just to disciple your kids at home. We believe that discipleship should continue when you bring your kids to church. When you bring your kids to church, you're continuing the discipleship process by having them sit next to you. Remember, what churches have been doing for the past few generations in America is not working. The normal church experience is not working. 60, 70, 80%, 90% of kids leaving the church after high school, that's not good enough. We've got to do something different. Our church loves kids, loves the next generation, loves families. We're doing something different, and this is where it is. We don't want you just to disciple your kids at home. We want you to have them with you in church so you can continue to disciple them. You know, Scott, you're discipling Emily right now. This is part of discipleship. Instead of sleeping in church, you're listening to the sermon. Emily pays attention to that. She says, Dad's interested in this, or at least he's pretending to be. That makes a difference in her life. That's part of discipleship, having your kids with you. This, by the way, is called, for some of you, this is brand new. This is called a family integrated church. Now, that means we keep the family together instead of the family going in their separate directions. And the first question that usually comes up in this discussion is, why can't the church do two things at once? Why can't the church teach parents or equip parents to teach their kids at home and, at the same time, provide special teaching environments for the kids at church, like Sunday school and youth group? Here's the simple reason. It's because it doesn't work. It's never happened before. There are no churches in America that do it like that. It just doesn't work. Here's what happens. The more intentional that a church gets at trying to disciple kids for parents at church, the less discipleship happens at home. That's just what has happened over the past few generations. Churches have said more and more, just bring your kids to us. We'll take over from here. And that's what parents have done. Parents have stopped discipling their kids as churches have taken over. In the traditional church model, this is the parents' role in discipleship: transportation. In the traditional church model, your role as a parent to disciple your kids is simply transportation. Get them to church. You're a chauffeur. That's it. In fact, recently I was looking at one of the largest churches in America. I was looking at their website, and I looked at their programs for children and for youth, and I wanted just to see what they said. And you know, and they said, "We exist to disciple kids." Said nothing about parents. Nothing about parents discipling kids, or maybe the ministry equipping parents, their ministry trying to help parents, or the parents being involved. No, we exist to disciple kids. What is that message? Does that send to parents? Okay, we need to just get them to church, and the church will do it for us. Now, in our church, in a family integrated model, here's the role of a church. It begins, first of all, with instruction. Several nights a week, dad, if possible, or mom and dad, you're sitting down with the kids, you're teaching them the Bible. You're reading Bible story books, whatever. Second, exemplification. By doing church with your kids, you're modeling the faith for them. You know, many kids in America, in fact, most church kids in America grow up never experiencing church with their parents. In many churches in Acadiana, you know, they have adult church, and at the same time as adult church is going on, they have nursery for the little ones, then they have a kids' church, and then they also have youth church going on at the same time. And so many kids growing up in the church in America today never get to experience church with their parents. Like, they never get to see mom and dad worshiping in church, reading the Bible, listening to a sermon, taking notes. They never get to sit with mom and dad in a home group or a Sunday school class. They never get to see adults doing church. And then third, so instruction, exemplification, you get to model the faith for your kids, and then observation. That's your role in discipleship. You get to, by doing church with your kids, you get to observe their faith. By sitting next to your kid, you get to see, are they snoozing? Are they participating? During the prayer, are they closing their eyes? During worship, are they lifting their hands? Or are they bored to death? You know, sometimes people think that if a kid is bored in church, that that's something wrong with the preacher. Sometimes it is. But you know, there's a lot of Sundays where I'll preach a sermon, and I'll have one person on one side of the room, an adult, who sleeps through the whole thing. And then another adult will come up to me after church and say, that was the most amazing, life-changing message I've ever heard in my life. What was the difference? Was the sermon boring or not? Well, the one person was engaged. The one person was interested. The one person was open, was seeking the Lord. The other person was not very interested. That's what you're looking for when you're a parent. Is my kid tuned in? Is he engaged? And you get that in a family integrated model. As well, what you get at Church Acadiana is you get not only a family integrated church, but you get an intergenerational church. At our church, you got all the generations together, the old and the young, or I should say the mature and the maturing. At Church Acadiana, kids aren't put into another room and told, hey, you're the church of tomorrow, so you can just hold off for a while, have fun in there, play some games, draw some pictures, listen to a cute Bible story. One day, you'll be a part of the church. You'll be a part of big church. At Church Acadiana, kids are included in everything we do. Sunday mornings, home group, volunteering. And what they're taught is, you are the church today. Kids, you're the church today. You are a part of the church today. When you treat kids like they're the church of the future, they'll most likely wait until the future to start acting like the church. And in most cases, the future never comes for these kids. But when you treat kids like you're the church of today, they start acting like the church today. You're one of us. You're the church. At Church Acadiana, we don't put kids in a room full of immature kids and hope that somehow they'll come out mature. Instead, what we do is we put immature kids sitting next to their parents in a room full of mature adults who are pursuing Christ, and kids rise in maturity. You know, it's like sports. You play up to competition. When you play people in sports who are better than you, you end up playing better. They still cream you, but you play better than you normally play. When you play people who are worse than you, you actually play worse than your potential. In church, it's similar. By putting kids in a room full of their parents and mature adults who are seeking Christ, kids rise to maturity and character and responsibility. So, our vision is this. We want to be a church where parents are passionate about discipling their kids at home. Now, I want you to try to imagine the future with me. Our church is relatively small, but let's say that every parent in our church gets passionate about discipling their kids at home. Fathers are sitting down several nights a week, and they're teaching their kids the Bible. They're passionate about this. Imagine the impact that we'll make in about 18 years as these kids grow up, and we're able as a church to reach maybe 9 out of 10, who knows, maybe 10 out of 10 of the kids in our church, we're able to reach for Christ, and they're able to love Jesus and stay involved in church. But imagine, though, that our kids, which they will, are going to grow up. And because of the investment that we've made in their lives, because we've taught them that it's the parents' role to disciple the kids at home, our kids grow up and they're passionate about discipling their kids. You know, I've got six kids. What if all six of my kids grow up passionate about discipling their kids at home? And yours are too. Imagine the impact we can make. Now imagine if our church grows in size, which is, it's growing. Our church has been growing. What if we grow to 100 people, 400 people, 1,000 people who are passionate about discipling their kids at home? Imagine the impact that our church can make just in our community and around the world. If you want a vision to get passionate about, folks, it's not the vision of a new building. Even though we're saving up for that, and that would be awfully nice. And one day, God willing. But this is a vision to get passionate about. The vision is not out there somewhere. The vision is sitting right next to us in this room. It's these children, these kids, these teenagers who are becoming the next generation of Christians in America. And so what I want to do this morning is simply urge you to get passionate about this with me. We want to be a church where parents are passionate about reaching the next generation. When we first started Church Acadiana in 2005, we sent out this mailer, which we've done many times since, inviting the community to church. And one lady angrily called me up, and she said, she was a Christian from another church. I'm sorry to say, kids, this does happen. Sometimes we Christians act like idiots. She called me up, and she was angry, and she said, "Why are you coming to town starting a new church? Are you trying to steal our church's members?" And I said, first of all, yes. I said, listen, the reason why Acadiana needs a new church, it doesn't need just another church, it needed a new church like ours, because we're going to be a different kind of church, a church where parents are passionate about discipling their kids. And that lady didn't go to a church like that. You know, there's a movement spreading all across America, and it's a movement of parents realizing it's their responsibility to disciple their kids and realizing that if it's going to be, it's up to them. They've got to take responsibility, get in the driver's seat. And now there are churches rising up all over our country who are providing communities of faith for these parents and saying, yes, we support you. We believe in you, mom and dad. You're going to disciple those kids, and we're going to provide a church that equips you and supports you in doing that. You know, Church Acadiana might be one of the first, if not the first, family-integrated church in our state. There are people that have driven hours to come to our church to see what it's like, to see what it's about. So I want to encourage you, get on board with this. It's passionate. And if you're a parent, start discipling your kids. I want you to join us this afternoon, 4 o'clock, if you're interested, for the Home Discipleship Forum. And we're going to talk about how do you do this. I'm going to give away some free books for those of you who have signed up, and I look forward to that. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to share the vision that you've put on my heart, Lord, and the vision of our church. And we thank you so much for the opportunity, Lord, to raise these kids to follow Christ. Thank you for the wonderful privilege of being a church with just a bunch of little kids, a bunch of teenagers, a bunch of children, a bunch of infants. And Lord, what a serious responsibility you've given us. But it's an awesome privilege. Lord, help us as parents to get passionate about discipling our kids at home, to start taking it very, very serious, and to get busy reaching these kids for you. Lord, we pray that all the children in our church would get saved at an early age, radically saved, and that the children in this church would grow up to follow you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you all for coming today. God bless you all. Y'all have a great week.